I want to wish a very happy birthday today to the church. Now, some of you are like, is this our birthday? No, I ain't talking about this church. I'm not talking about believing church. I'm talking about the capital C church. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day where believers around the world mark and remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as defined in the book of Acts, but also remember that this is the moment, this is the inception of the thing that we are a part of the thing that Jesus called us to care for, to build his church. Today, it is my honor on this Pentecost Sunday to be able to celebrate with you. Now, some of you may be wondering what Pentecost is and what this means. Well, it's a moment where God marks his people in a fresh way, in a special way, through the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, but it was marked by an old symbol, fire. If you read the scriptures, the Old Testament in particular, you will find that every time the presence of God shows up among his people, fire is there. There's a bush that does not burn when God meets with a man named Moses, who he is going to use to deliver his people out of captivity in Egypt. There is fire that will lead those people by night, a cloud by day. It is fire that indicates the spots where the temple is to be built, where the presence of the Lord will reside with his people. It's fire. And it's fire in the book of Acts chapter 2, if you were to read it on that first Pentecost moment, where fire sits on the head of every single person who was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful old symbol marking a new reality. It's Pentecost. And it's at Pentecost that we celebrate the birth of the church and we celebrate power to the people. Today, that is the subject matter I want to walk us down on this Pentecost Sunday. Power to the people. What happened at Pentecost was power came once and for all to the people. That power did not reside in a place, but God said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to set my presence among my people wherever they go. And now the power ain't gonna be over there. The power will be in you and in you and in you and in you. Power to the people. This was the promise that Jesus articulated. And on today, what I want to do is I want to lean into that time of promise to bring understanding and hopefully application to us as to how we live as people of Pentecost in 2024. I want to take a look at a conversation Jesus has with his disciples as recorded by Luke in his letter to his friend Theophilus, we know as the book of Acts. This conversation that Jesus has, this articulation that Luke brings us, occurs after the resurrection of Jesus, but before the ascension of Jesus. So Jesus has been crucified, he has been buried, he has raised from the dead by the power of God. But he's not yet ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. The book of Acts, chapter 1, starting in verse 3, records it this way. It says, during the 40 days after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I don't know if we ever think of resurrected Jesus as being someone who had a problem. But Acts chapter 1 shows us a problem in the hands of resurrected Jesus. Did you see it here? Because what's been going on is for the better part of 40 days, Jesus has been appearing, resurrected style, to lots and lots of people at different moments and times. In fact, Paul would tell us in one of his letters that Jesus appeared to in excess of 500 people in that span of 40 days. And now he's about to leave his trusty 11, because he had 12 disciples and one of them took themselves out. So his trusty 11, he's about to leave them in charge of the whole thing. He's about to set them loose to go do everything he is told, everything that God has purposed and planned for them to do. And what do they want to know? They want to know when political takeover is going to happen. See, resurrected Jesus had a tough time getting people off of politics and onto purpose. He had this struggle of getting them to focus on what was the main thing. Because here they are going, Jesus, when are you going to set Israel free? When are you going to make Israel powerful? When are you going to do everything we've always hoped for? And he's like, you're concerned about the wrong stuff. I mean, if I was Jesus, and let's all be glad I wasn't and am not, but if I was, I think I would have responded to these questions very differently. I think I would have prayed to God the Father and said, Father, I think I need 3 more years. And I think I need to go find a new group, because these fools do not get it. They over here still. I mean, I've done the miracles and I've done the teachings and I've been arrested and I've been buried and I've come back from the dead. I've been appearing to these people and they still don't get it. Maybe we should run this thing back. Circle the block again, if you will. But that's not what happened. He entrusted to these 11 brothers who didn't always get it right everything he would call them to do. They missed it, though, at least here. They missed it because they talked to Jesus about the kingdoms of earth, and Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of God. They were concerned about who's in power and what's going to happen here. And Jesus is saying, I need you to lift your eyes. I need you to change your focus. I need you to take on a new perspective. There's a contrast here in Acts chapter 1 that we cannot miss, because it's a contrast that still exists today, even concerning the power of the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us concerned with what he wants to give us power to do. That's where God wants our attention. That's where he wants our focus, our aim to be, on his purposes, his kingdom, his work. But far too often what happens is we're concerned with the power of God to do what we want, to make it how we want it to be in the earth, to make us feel the way we want to feel here and now. We're only concerned about the power of the Holy Spirit as it would show itself in some service, as it would maybe just better our life and our life personally. It's this kind of mentality that can't see the interwoven workings of the purposes of God in his people, fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, that leaves our world broken and struggling and wanting something more, wanting something real. And we give the best we have to offer and it feels like it's not enough. This is the kind of mentality that takes Holy Ghost power and makes it a sideshow. Rather, the power to do the work that God has for us. See, friend, today I want you to know that we need power. We need power. If you're a believer in Jesus, I need you to understand you need power to live this life for Him. If you've given your life to the Lord, you need power to follow Him, power to make a difference, power to be His witness where He's called you to be. But you also need purpose too, because purpose and power are an extraordinary thing. But far too often we focus on one without the other, and we find ourselves in a problematic situation. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. Whether you're taking notes on our website or maybe you just want to write these down on your own. But purpose without power is a problem. Purpose, even if it's God's purpose, without the power to do the purpose is a problem. This is how some people of faith live. Maybe for some of you, that would succinctly define your following Jesus. It's like you know God a little bit. You attend a service. You serve a little bit. You give a little bit. You pray a little bit. Yet there seems to be a weakness in you to be and to do and to follow and to lead and to live for Him. That when God really calls you to do something, you always feel incapable. You always feel like you can't, and so you never move. If that's you, friend, I need you to understand what your problem is today. It's not a purpose problem, you have a power problem. And it's not that the power isn't available, it's that you ain't got it. It's not that there isn't power for you to do the things that God has set before you to do. It's not that there isn't enough power for you to be able to be His witness as He's asked you to be. It's that you haven't tapped into the power that's available to you to do the thing that God has set for you. See, without power, you won't be able to be His witness. And isn't that the purpose of the power? Without His power, you won't be able to be His witness. Every sacrifice that He asks of you will feel like suicide. Ordering your life around His principles and priorities always feels restrictive. It's like, I can't do it. I can't trust you with that. I can't follow you there. I can't love them. I can't. Jesus understands that. That's why He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. His instruction to you, His instruction to me was to take up our cross daily and follow Him, to offer our bodies, as Paul would say, as living sacrifices to God. See, these sacrifices, these callings, this purpose only feels like too much when you ain't got the power to do it. That's because purpose without power is a problem. But hear me, power without purpose is a problem too. If you've got power, but you've got no purpose, you have a problem. This is how people have taken the power of the Holy Spirit. They've taken what Pentecost reminds us of, what Pentecost is, and turned it into some spectacle, some sideshow, some feeling, some seasoning on a service, some sauce within what we do. That it's all about what I feel, and ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost on that. No, 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 the air conditioner kicked on. Ooh, I sense God on that. No, no, no. They had it turned up loud enough so that bass hit you in the chest. Some of us would be shocked to put the lie detector on what a lot of us call the Holy Spirit. Because some of you think it's the Holy Spirit because the preacher got loud. Or it's the Holy Spirit because somebody stood up and clapped. It's the Holy Spirit because, woo, I felt that. And maybe, but the problem is we can find ourselves in a state and in a scenario where we're chasing the next feeling. We're chasing the next, oof, Holy Ghost was on that. And we've confined the Spirit of God to church services and places. Can I tell you something? I need the Holy Spirit every day of my life to make decisions. I need the Holy Spirit to help me love people that are difficult for me to love. I need the Holy Spirit to help me forgive people that I, in my natural thinking, should not forgive, but freely I've received forgiveness, so freely I should give it. I need His Spirit to help me do that. I need His Spirit to help me serve when I feel like I've poured out all I could pour out. I need His Spirit to help me be His witness. But if you seek His power and find His power and do not have purposes that are His purposes, you have a problem. This is what has happened to much of what people think of as Pentecostalism. Now, I say this affectionately and as one. I am a Pentecostal. My background, my training, my degrees are from Pentecostal University. I am someone who believes in, experiences, and lives in the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit. I believe that when a person is saved, that you are filled with the Spirit. But there is a second work subsequent to salvation that can fill you and empower you to be His witness. And without taking all of our time just to extrapolate this theologically, could you at least look at Acts chapter 1 before I move a step further? Because Jesus is sitting here with His disciples. His disciples who are confused. Jesus, when are you going to come take over the world? And when are we going to get this political system right? And Jesus is like, I ain't really worried about that. I'm concerned about the kingdom of God. And you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses. So, they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. You will receive power. It's going to happen in the future. It's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's going to happen about a week and a half after this. Okay, that's when it's going to happen. Are they saved in Acts chapter 1? Are Jesus' disciples saved in Acts chapter 1? As He's meeting with His disciples, better said, His followers, are they saved? Because if they are, then I just proved what I told you. Because if they're saved in Acts chapter 1, but yet there is a subsequent happening of the Holy Spirit that will come upon them in the future, then that means that it is possible to be saved and that there's more. That's what I believe. I believe you are saved, and when you are saved, you are sealed, you are marked by the stamp of the Holy Spirit, and there's more. However, we as Pentecostals, me as a Pentecostal, have far too long relegated and resigned the person, power, and presence of the Holy Spirit to a service. And Jesus said, you actually have the Holy Spirit to be out in them streets. The reason I have given you the Holy Spirit, the reason the Father sends His Spirit and it will be inside of everyone, the reason the power is not going to be relegated to some place, but it will be among my people, it's because I need you to take the power with you to be my witness. But what happens when you have power with no purpose, or you have power with wrong purpose, is you make the power about a place, and you make the power about a feeling, you make the power about a pontification, you make the power about all of these things that the power isn't supposed to be about. Jesus said, you will receive power to be my witness. See, power without purpose is a problem, and purpose without power is a problem. But there's one more problem you need to catch. Purpose with power is a problem. Oh, it's a problem. Purpose with power is a problem. It's a real problem. It's a real problem for a world in need. Because when a world in need that is broken and confused comes in contact with people who are filled with purpose and filled with power, can I tell you, sin doesn't have a shot. Addiction doesn't have a shot. Brokenness doesn't have a shot. Anxiety does not have a shot. Come on, dysfunction does not have a shot. When purpose and power come together in them streets of a broken world, it's a problem for everything that would not subject itself to the will of God. It's a problem for everything that would try to step into God's place. It's a problem when purpose and power come together, but it's the kind of problem we need. See, with his power, you will be able to be his witness. That's his promise to you. Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will then be my witness. You will be my testimony. You will be my ambassador. You will be my mouthpiece. You will be my example. You will be my witness. Meaning the Holy Spirit is going to give you what you need to be a witness full of power, starting right here where you are. See, I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life every day. I know some people come looking for the power of the Holy Spirit on a Sunday. Man, I think I need the power of the Holy Spirit on Wednesdays way more than I do on Sundays. I need it on Fridays to navigate everything going on in my world, sometimes way more than I need it on Sundays. I need him on Sundays because I need him every day. But I need his Spirit in me every day. In fact, I'll tell you, I think there's hardly a day of my life where I don't at some point just stop, even if it's just for a few seconds, and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, help me, guide me, teach me, use me, correct me, sustain me. One of those prayers, all of those prayers, fill me to be used by you. Not just because I'm gonna stand on a stage, but because I might find myself being your witness on the street somewhere. Power for his purpose is our promise. You need to know today, wherever you are, that the power of the Holy Spirit for you is not something to strive for. It is his promise for those willing to be his witness. But that's the word. Be. Be. Somebody in the chat just needs to type be. Maybe you just even keep it short and just put the letter be. 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 The power of the Spirit isn't to do something. That's what's happened when we don't have purpose and we pursue power. We want to do something. We make the power of the Spirit about doing something, whether it's something that feels very supernatural and spiritual, like, oh, I don't know, speaking in tongues, and people would make the whole of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, or we make it do something that seems a little more rational to other people and like to be logical, like, I don't know, like doing what people would call witnessing, being able to share your faith with someone. Can I tell you, those can happen in the overflow and in the outside, but the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you and fills you to be his witness. Not to do something, but to be something. Not based on how you feel, because it's not a feeling, based on what he set you to be. See, we need people filled with the Spirit, walking into their places of work, being his witness, sitting in that meeting, being his witness, interacting with that customer, being his witness to their friends, being his witness to their coworkers, being his witness to your boss. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witness. We need people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit walking into classrooms to be his witness. Not to run around trying to do witnessing. No, that's not what I said. To be his witness. To be filled with his Spirit sitting at that lunch table. To be filled with his Spirit being a part of that team that you're on. To be filled with his Spirit being a part of that club that you are with your friends, whether you at school or after. We need to be filled, taking up residence at your house. You need to be filled with his Spirit leading your family. Filled with his Spirit as you interact with your neighbors. Filled with his Spirit as you raise them kids. Filled with his Spirit as you try to be a good wife, as you try to be a faithful husband. Filled with his Spirit as you try to live your life for God in this season of life. Filled with his Spirit, be a single in his life. Filled with his Spirit. Be. We need it to be his witness. That's what Jesus told us. His disciples are all distracted. He's trying to talk to them about the kingdom of God. They're trying to talk about when they're going to have political takeover. And Jesus says, you've missed it. But know this. Not too long from now, what John was talking about is going to happen. You've been baptized with water, but now you're about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness. Where am I going to be your witness, Jesus? Well, he tells them. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He gives them four specific instructions. Four places where they need power to be his witness. And while those spoke to them as places, they speak to us as instruction. See, you need power. If you're taking notes today, would you write this down? To be his witness right here. That's what Jerusalem is, right here. When Jesus is telling them to be his witness in Jerusalem, he's telling them, I need you to start being my witness right here where you are. The city that you're in, the neighborhood that you're in, the people that you already know. The people that are already, I need you to be my witness. You're going to have power to be my witness right here. There's this proclivity that we have that if we're going to do things for God and do things of God, that somehow we have to leave. And Jesus corrected that right off the jump. And he said, no, you're going to be my witness. And I need you to start right here in the neighborhood, in Jerusalem. Friend, you got to be a witness at your house before you start worrying about being a witness at somebody else's house. You gotta be a witness in your own neighborhood before you worry about somebody else's neighborhood. Be a witness in your own school, in your own job, among your own friends before you worry about somebody else's school, somebody else's job, somebody else's friends. Start here. You need power to do that though. It ain't easy, but you need to be filled with his power to be his witness right now. Here, and you need power to be his witness over there. Judea was the area surrounding Jerusalem. To give the best, although it's not perfect, analogy for it, if you think of Jerusalem as a city, which it was, Judea would have been the county that it was in, the region around it. So I want you to start in Memphis. But you're also going to be my witness in all of Shelby County. You know what I'm saying? Like it's going to look like that. These would have been people in Judea who would have had similar thinking patterns, similar lifestyle, similar priorities, similar aims and ambitions as the people they would have found in Jerusalem. He's saying, I want you to be people that you're already in relationship with. I want you to be my witness to people right over there. They may not be right next to you, but you get them. They may not be right close to you, but you understand them. See, once you're a witness at home, it's amazing the opportunities that the Holy Spirit might open up for you. It's unbelievable the work that he might want to do in you and do through you to be his witness. It starts right here in Jerusalem. It starts right here in the place where you are, but then it begins to spread. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said Jerusalem, Judea, then he gave them another specific spot, Samaria. I've put it this way in your notes, you can write it down. You need power to be his witness to them. Samaria were their neighbors to the north. You could think of it as the county to the north. Jerusalem, the city they were in. Judea, the region that Jerusalem was in. Samaria was this place to the north, but it was very different than Judea. Jews lived in Judea. Samaritans lived in Samaria. They had different ideological, different religious, different priorities, different ways of seeing the world. Jews wanted nothing to do with Samaritans, and Samaritans knew it. So they didn't want anything to do with Jews. They were enemies. That's why Jesus' great story that he tells of the Good Samaritan literally is an oxymoron to the Jews. Listen, it's like, there is no such thing. Nobody has ever heard of a Good Samaritan. What is this that you are talking about? Jews hated Samaritans. Jews wanted nothing to do with Samaritans. They were unclean. They were unholy. They were to be avoided at all costs. And Jesus says, I want you to be my witness right here where you are in Jerusalem. I want you to be my witness over there in Judea, among them people like you. I want you to be my witness in Samaria to them, to those people, those hated Samaritans, those ones that you hate, those ones that you criticize, those ones that you don't want to associate with, the people that you try to avoid. I want you to be my witness to them. We all have a them, don't we? You got them people you don't want to associate with. Them people that you feel like your neighborhood, your city would be better off if they weren't here. Because they vote differently than you. Or they look differently than you. Or they're in a different income bracket than you are. Or they're of a different ethnicity, a different race than you. Or they're of a different generation than you. And you would much rather get rid of them. And never in your mind have you thought that maybe the reason you should have the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be his witness to them. Jesus calls us all, like he called his disciples, to our them. You will receive power to be my witness to them. Jesus is making sure that as he enlists and directs his followers, that they don't skip over those who would be convenient for them to skip over. That he doesn't, they don't ignore those it would be easy for them to ignore. That they wouldn't take this filling of the Holy Spirit and go, I'm going to use it to serve my people and my kind only. No. He said, you start in Jerusalem. Get your house in order. Then spread to Judea. But do not neglect Samaria. You need power to be his witness to them. And you need power to be his witness, write it down, everywhere. Everywhere. You'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then everywhere else on this earth. Everywhere you go, you're to be my witness. When the Spirit fills you, you will be able to be my witness to people you hate and to people you love, to people near you and to people far away. Don't get so comfortable in your city that you're unwilling to go everywhere. Don't be running everywhere before you've handled your own region. Start here, but go there. You will receive power to be his witness. That is the point. That is the purpose of the power. Not so you can feel something, so you can be his witness when you go interact with them. So you can be his witness when you're with people near you and you're with people you don't know anything about. You can be his witness. Now I know what some of you are wondering. You're wondering, well, you know, I've heard about the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe in Pentecost, maybe in a service, but I don't know that I have it like you talk about, or have ever received it, because I haven't ever felt that. Well, maybe you haven't ever received the Holy Spirit because you haven't been concerned about the priorities of the one who promised the Spirit. May I ask you a question that probably will sting a little bit, but maybe it'll help you as we turn this corner and drive towards home today. But if you don't want to be his witness because you don't like them, you don't want to be his witness because, well, that may make some of the deals that you're trying to close a little more difficult. You don't want to be his witness because it would be challenging for you. Then why should he want you to have his power? Maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice who's been praying for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, but you've been praying for it selfishly because you want to feel something or you want to do something. You want to have some spiritual gift that's about you. You want to have this feeling, this confidence, this prayer language. You want something. You've missed it. Jesus said, you're going to receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it will empower you to be my witness. That's why the power's there. Be my witness. That's why he fills anyone he fills to be my witness. Many people never receive his power because they have no desire to be his witness. The reason the power comes is to be his witness. So if you don't want to be his witness, then maybe that's the reason power hasn't come to you. And what you see other people do with strength and with grace takes everything of you. Maybe they got the power that you want, but you just want the power. You don't want the purpose that comes with it. Because when purpose and power come together, the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill you. There are far too many people that want the Holy Spirit to be something they experience in a service, not something that they are full of so they can be his witness when they have difficult conversations on Tuesday afternoon, or when they have people that they're trying to love who are so difficult to love. You want a sensation for your own benefit rather than the power to be his witness, and you've missed it. And this is what God says as you read the book of Acts, which some people have called the Acts of the Apostles, but it might be better known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. That what God has always said when it comes to pouring out his Spirit on people, pouring out his Spirit on individuals, filling anyone with his Holy Spirit. No witness, no power. Write it in your notes. No witness, no power. Y'all know some people want power for the wrong reasons, right? I'm talking about just in life. There are people who run for the PTA at the school, not because they care about the school, care about the kids. They want the power. There are people on PTA boards at elementary schools, and their kids are long since gone from that elementary school. They just like the power. There are people who run for local government and national government. They run for statewide positions. Why? Because they want the power. There are people who do things in the company you work for because they want power in the company. There are people who chase power for all the wrong reasons, and there are people who chase power in God for all the wrong reasons. They want something for themselves. They want to sound a certain way or look a certain way, appear a certain way. They want to be that person that other people want them to pray for them because they got the power. Jesus said, you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to be my witness. That's it. There's no other way, there's no other method, there's no other activity where the power of the Holy Spirit is promised. It is promised to those who will be his witness. You want to be his witness, you will have his power. Don't believe me? Read the book of Acts. There was a guy in the book of Acts chapter 8 who saw the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through the apostles and said, I want that, but I want it for myself. How much does it cost? He tried to buy it. Read it. It didn't go well for him. If I could say it succinctly, I'd tell it to you this way. If there's no desire to be his witness, there will be no deployment of his power. Some of you, maybe you've been in church for a minute. Maybe you've been following Jesus for years. Maybe you grew up among a denomination or a church where the power of the Holy Spirit was always celebrated and intensified, particularly in services, and you never felt his power like other people said you were supposed to feel his power, and you thought there was something wrong with you. May I tell you, the only thing potentially wrong with you might be your desire, not their demonstration. You need to check your desire, because if there's no desire to be his witness, if your desire for the power of the Holy Spirit is so you feel something in a service, so you can be impressive to somebody who thinks those things are important, you have missed the mark. If there's no desire to be his witness, there will be no deployment of his power. But if there's real desire to be his witness, there will be a real deployment of his power. His power will fill you, like the old folks used to say, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You will be filled. You see it all through the book of Acts. The greater the witness, the greater the power. The greater the witness, the greater the power. There are at least 56 references and instances in the 28 chapters within the book of Acts. So literally two per chapter if you're doing the math, right? There are literally 56 at least instances in the book of Acts referencing the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. People are healed and set free. The word of God is proclaimed boldly. People speak in tongues. People prophesy. Wisdom is given. Discernment is used. People are filled with boldness to do what God has asked them to do. It's all in there. You know what you'll find? The greater the opposition, the greater the power. The greater the opposition they face, oh, you gonna lock us in jail? Peter and John be like, oh, it's okay. And we ain't really worried about all that much. God gonna get us out if he needs to get us out. Oh, you sick? Well, silver and gold have I none, but such I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, you gonna try to put me on trial and a snake's gonna bite my arm? I will shake the snake off and it will fall into the fire. The greater the opposition, the greater the power among those who are set to be his witness. Because God says, no witness, no power. But he also says this, you witness my power. You want to be his witness? You want to be his witness where you work? Be his witness every day of your life? Be that person that walks into every place that you walk into, filled with the person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit? You want to be his witness? His power will come with you. The Holy Ghost will give you all the power you need for all the witness that God wants you to be. So stop asking for the power so that you can get what you want, and start asking for the power so you can do what God said. Because it's about others. At the end of the day, the reason the Holy Spirit fills you is for them. You shall receive power. It's the promise. When? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why do you have this power? Others. To be my witness to others. So today, as I close, could you turn your attention today onto the others in your world, onto the others in your life, unto the others in your community, the others in your school, the others who are your friends, the others that you work out with, the others that you hang out with, the others in your life. Because the reason you are filled with the Spirit, the reason the Spirit wants to fill you, God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. But it ain't about you. It's about others. You see, if you'll pray for others, you shall receive power. If you'll be someone who turns your attention to what others need and ask the Holy Spirit for the power to love and the power to forgive, and the power to share, and the power to be generous, and the power to talk to, and the power to befriend people who are far from God. I promise you, He will fill you with the power of His Spirit when your attention is on others. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're teaching and preaching. And people are saying, we ain't never heard nothing like this. And we know these dudes ain't smart. They must have something from God in them. He will fill you with what you need if your prayer will be about others. If you'll care for others, you shall receive power. If you make your intention, your heart, your aim, the good of other people, I promise you the power of the Holy Spirit will fill you to give you strength that you didn't know you had. Give you resource that you don't know where the source is even coming from, except you do know the source. You just know, I couldn't afford to do this, but yet somehow God has blessed us to be able to be a blessing to others. If you'll care for others, you shall receive. If you'll care for the salvation of other people, you shall receive power. If you'll live your life for other people, you shall receive power. What if you started giving more of your time, more of your energy, more of your talent, more of your effort, more of your influence for the good of others? I promise you what'll happen. You'll see the provision and power of God that only makes sense in reverse. Because you'll remember a day where you said, I don't have the time to do any of that. And now you're doing more than you ever imagined with time left over. And it's like God has done something by His Spirit in you and through you. And yes, He has. He filled you because you were focused on others. The reason you never see it is because you're waiting to receive it. You start living that way, He will fill you along the way. If you'll be for others, you will be my witness. If you'll be for others, you shall receive power. Friend, the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just for you. He fills you for others. He wants to fill you today wherever you are. So some of you feel incapable of living the life for God that He's called you to live. Can I tell you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The reason you feel incapable is because there's something for others He's calling you to do. There's something for others He's asking you to give of yourself. He's asking you to trust Him in ways you never trust Him. And you say you can't. He's saying you ain't filled. Because when I fill you, you'll never run out. When I fill you, you'll never be dry. When I fill you, you will have more than enough to do everything I've called you to do. If you'll be for others, you shall receive power. So that full of His Spirit, you can love and you can give. And you can pray and you can prophesy and you can discern and you can see God working like never before. Not just in some seat, but out in them streets. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you today, but not just so you can have a moment today, but so you can be filled tomorrow. Not just so that you can try to get back to the seat where it happened, but so that you can take what happens in you and love people who are unlovable and forgive people who do not deserve your forgiveness. And share with people, even though you don't feel like you have enough. And give and build for others. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that power is to be His witness. So I want that to be the prayer of your heart today. If you're watching, you're listening right now, and you say, Michael, I need the Holy Spirit. I want this to be your aim as we pray, but even beyond this service, even beyond this sermon, even beyond this time, until you are filled, keep praying for others. Keep praying to be His witness and watch Him fill you for them. Would you pray that even now, wherever you are? Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. But not for me, for others. Help me to forgive, and help me to love, and help me to share. Help me to be your witness. I got family, I got friends, I got neighbors, I got coworkers that need you. And I need something more than I have to love them. I need something more than I have to forgive them. I need something more than I have to be the light you've called me to be the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So fill me with your Spirit, so that I can do everything you would want me to do for your honor and for your glory most of all. And I will keep seeking, because I know that everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is open to them. So fill me today, Holy Spirit, like only you can. For your honor, for your glory, and so that I can be your witness everywhere that I go, every day of my life. I pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Everybody said, amen.